Just Us Boys. Mindachi talks some Metroid Dread. I've got an indie zombie shooter to give some thoughts on. And there's a controversy with Ready or Not. All of that and more in this week's episode of the podcast. Roll the intro.
Bing bong.
You know, I was just kind of wondering, should we do like the Madden football theme in honor of Madden, who passed away? Like, we literally found out like 20 minutes ago.
Yikes.
Yeah. Should we have done like the Madden football theme?
No, because then we would have gotten sued.
That's true. I could do it, but then be like, no, what you have to understand is that their song goes like, and mine is clearly different. It goes like this. Vanilla Ice, I see you.
Yeah. He wasn't the only one that used that legal defense, though. Robin Thicke used that as well. Yeah, when he was getting sued by the Marvin Gaye estate, I think so.
Oh yeah, man, yeah. Marvin Gaye, what a sad story that is.
In one for a different podcast. Hello and welcome to Next to Nothing, a podcast for gamers on a budget. I'm your host, Danny K. With me, as always, the wonderful, the beautiful, the Mr. Green Elite. Green, how are you doing today?
I am doing good. I have no complaints. I'm here. I'm thriving. Living my okayest life. You know, just here. I'm here. How you doing, Danny?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty darn good. We're also joined by the spooky and the ukulele, Mindachi. Mindachi, how you doing, dude?
Super spooky this season, man. I've done nothing but take in horror movies and play games that just amp up my anxiety, and I can't wait to talk about the game that's been giving me all the anxiety. Otherwise, go fucking watch Yellow Jackets on Showtime, I guess, if you want another subscription service. I don't know, but we're doing spooky, Danny.
Doing spooky. Excellent. Guys, thanks for watching and listening to the show. If you miss any part of the show, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. But of course, we're not just interested in your time and attention. We're also interested in your thoughts and opinions. So if there's any part of the show this week that you want to like voice your opinion on, let us know in the comments of this YouTube video. Or you can answer the question of the week, which I am stalling right now to write in, which is, what was your favorite gift? I want to mix it up on you guys. You gave this Xmas, this Christmas. Go on ahead and let us know in the comments right now. What was your favorite gift you gave this Xmas? You can also let us know on Spotify if you're listening to us on Spotify. And you can also let us know in the live chat if you joined us live. If you guys miss any part of the show, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. Green, what was the favorite gift you gave this Xmas, this Christmas?
I gave my fiance a very fancy necklace that I got actually from Mindachi's fiance.
Yes, not married.
Not married yet.
I can't get her to I can't catch her, man.
Other than that, like, I gave my sister a it's called a stash box, which fits very well
to stash her copious amounts of cash.
Just stash her tobacco products.
Tobacco for sure,
put it that
for
way sure. Mm-hmm. So it for fit sure. her very well.
Excellent. Mindachi, what was your favorite gift that you gave this Christmas?
It's got to be, so I had to see where this gal was from. Okay, so speaking of my fiance, back in 2018, I met her family for the first time after driving 16 fucking hours across the country. And we met in a little national park in the eastern edge of West Virginia called Blackwater Falls. And it was awesome. I was exhausted and I had 3 hours of sleep. I woke up to her dad having made us all breakfast, had like a quiet kind of like anxious kind of like meeting with everybody. And I love them now. Like, they are absolutely my second family. And in a lot of ways, like, my primary family. They help us out a lot, and all the love. They're fantastic people. And so what I got that family as a whole as a gift this Christmas is there's an artist out of Charleston, West Virginia that had done a landscape painting of Blackwater Falls. And it was also like the backdrop of our first family photo together. So it's like hand drawn and hand painted watercolors. And I found her on Etsy. So it was pretty cool. So yeah, they've got that in their living room now. And so I think that was probably my favorite gift that I've given it in a long time.
Nice. Nice. That sounds super fucking dope. I took my dad to Kennedy Space Center for Christmas. So it was an early Christmas gift. Obviously, because my sister got married, we were already in Florida. I'm like, Pops, where do you want to go in Florida? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, you know what? We're going to Kennedy. We're going to go look at some rocket ships. So, yeah, that's what we did. Guys, let us know in the comments what your favorite gift was to give this year. And, I've got a game to talk about, which has been a little while since I've had a game to review.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how long has it been since I've reviewed a game?
Oh, man, Danny. Would that be... Oh, no. Well, I mean, technically you did Century Age of Ashes.
Yeah, true. That was a couple weeks ago, but...
Technically.
Yeah. Okay. So, this is a game from Zono Games on itch.io. It is called Apocalypse. It is a pay-what-you-want shooter by Zono Games, like I said, that you can download for PC off of itch.io. The game is a horde mode shooter with a highly stylized low poly art style. The game currently has two modes. It has horde mode and boss rush. In horde mode, you load in with a selected weapon and kill as many zombies as possible while trying to limit the number of while taking only a limited number of hits. In boss rush, you load in with a selected weapon and kill a boss zombie as fast as possible in order to get the highest score possible. The boss rush mode is the newest one that is there. The game is very much a work in progress, and I'll get into some of that stuff here in a minute. I will also say that the boss rush mode is my preferred mode between the two, as it's not just like an endless gallery of shooting the same zombies. The game currently has four maps: Trailer Park, Junkyard, Fuel Station, and Old Church. You can set it to like a day-night cycle, or whether you have clear weather or raining. As far as I can tell, there's not really a difference in the gameplay, depending on whether you choose one or the other, or any sort of settings. Really, it just seems like it's a visibility thing or an atmospheric thing. And a note on the maps is that the maps are very, very claustrophobic, incredibly claustrophobic. They are very tight. They're very narrow. Getting into the combat, there are 11 weapons, a handgun, an SMG, an AR, a nail gun called the Crucifier, a minigun, shotgun, rocket launcher, bolt action. There's probably another one or two that I'm forgetting, but, it kind of runs the gamut of typical shooter weapons. And just as like a critique here, the guns aren't really exciting in any way. They really are just as they are described. I mean, you think of a video game shotgun, it's going to be basically that. I will say the shotgun needs to be reworked by the devs a lot. It is very ineffective at a minuscule range. It's, yeah, that needs to be reworked for sure. Needs to be balanced a little bit. The difficulty settings in the game are pretty basic as well. Really, the settings you have are how many zombies will spawn at any given time and how many hits you can take, which is like a max of 7 hits. And I think you can have up to like 250 zombies on the screen at any given point in time. From a technical perspective, the game runs well. Even with lots of zombies on the screen, it doesn't chug or slow down, on my rig at least. It does. There weren't any bugs or glitches that I ran into, really. At least not that I noticed. There was one, and this is more of a visual bug where like muzzle flashes would cause a weird artifact on the screen sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one that probably needs to be addressed by the devs. But yeah, no, there wasn't like any reloading bugs or animation glitches. I didn't get caught on anything weird in the map. Like there wasn't like a pebble that like would like I would get caught on or some sort of weird invisible wall that I couldn't get through or whatever. Nothing like that. So that's good. It has a solid technical base right now. And as they go and develop things, hopefully they keep that technical base nice and solid. Yeah, but this is an indie game. This is a work in progress game. It seems like this is like their first project, some sort of like student project of some sort, where this dev is definitely learning how to develop games. So I'm going to offer my critiques here. And if they see this, hopefully they appreciate these critiques and can work with these a little bit. So one thing I want to reiterate is that the maps are very claustrophobic. They need to be opened up a little bit. And they also need to have some sort of dynamism to them, some sort of dynamic portions to the map that can change and be triggered or be opened up for whatever reason. You know, if you hit this button, maybe this opens up, and maybe you can't hit the button until you get like 10 headshots on a zombie, stuff like that. The maps just need a little bit more variety. There needs to be a little bit more gaminess to the game, and working with the maps is going to definitely help with that. And I know this is something that's being implemented, but I'd also like to see a different variety of zombies to fight. Zombies that are smaller, zombies that are quicker or take different amount of hits. Something that creates variety, because right now it's like you have the juggernaut zombie and you have your regular zombies, and the regular zombies all go down to one headshot no matter what weapon you're using. So if you have like an LMG, it's pretty easy to like just level the gun and rack up headshots. Same with like the minigun too. Like the minigun, it does the typical wind up when you aim kind of thing, and you get slow when you have to shoot it. But, you know, if you're doing like a quick crowd clear, you know, you just like wind it up and then you aim for heads and it just kind of mows down, you know, a huge swath. So yeah, zombies need to be a little bit more different. Again, just kind of adding more gaminess to the game. Something I would suggest is adding power-ups or some sort of drops or map events that the player can use to manage crowds, because I'll be honest, even at when you set yourself up to 7 bites instead of 5, 250 zombies at a time is a little ridiculous. Very, like, it's not, like, it's hard to a fault. Pretty unfair, and so there's like no way to really manage stuff except for shooting things, but you can only shoot so much before you have to reload and go back to an ammo crate. That's one thing I will say, is that there's like an ammo crate by an RV on every map that you use to like replenish all of your ammo. Some sort of power-ups or drops, you know, going back to like COD zombies, you know, some of the stuff, you know, one hit kill, nuke, stuff like that, that would help kind of add more to the crowd management. I did see that there's a campaign mode that is on the way, so adding objectives into maps would be good. A series of events or tasks that you need to complete in order to advance to another level. Again, kind of going back to the idea of opening up maps. Unlocking different areas inside maps is another thing that needs to happen for this game. Again, just adding more gameplay elements to the game. It really is a big thing that has to happen here. That's really all I've got for suggestions. I think the game is enjoyable enough. The game is fun. It's a game that doesn't have, like, you guys might notice, like, we're not playing the media right now. That's because I didn't record any of my gameplay and I couldn't find any on YouTube to show off. So yeah, we're without that. That was an oversight on my part, because I would like to show it off, but it is on itch.io for free, so people can check it out if they want to. Yeah, it is a fun game. It is enjoyable for short bursts of time, you know, an hour at most, I think, is about what I've been able to, like, play of it. So, like, not something that I could sit down and just waste an entire afternoon doing, but, you know, a quick little study break or something like that, you know, a little lunch break or whatever, I could see this being a good knockout, especially if you don't want to, like, get stuck into like a real serious multiplayer game of like Hunt or Apex or something like that, you know? So yeah, it's worth checking out if you're looking for just something a little bit different, want to check, you know, maybe offer some feedback to an independent dev, definitely give this game a check. Yeah. Thoughts, opinions, questions.
Yeah. It sounds like it's like really fun, especially in those kind of short burst things. It immediately makes me think of, and this is a deep cut for anyone who remembers the Xbox Live Arcade. I made a game with zombies in it. Mm. That's super fun. Like it's super simple. And it's, you know, essentially just like a horde of bullshit coming at you, but lots of fun guns and, you know, like things kind of change here and there. But overall, like, you know, playing it for an hour, you're going to get, you know, an entire thing out of it, the entire experience and everything that the game has to offer. Starting it up again and doing another hour, you're going to have relatively the same kind of experience. That yeah. being said, it's not a bad thing, especially for something that's, you know, pay what you want. And I, from what I have been able to see, this is a game that I would really enjoy playing. And it's another one of those things where like the semi low poly count really works for it, I think, aesthetically. And I think that it could really only go further the more this developer continues to work on it. I did not catch, is there a shove or a kick or any sort of melee implemented yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, that's like the one thing that I would say, like, absolutely you should put in this game. Mm-hmm. You know, even if it's like a Minecraft leg shooting out from like under the gun to like, you know, shove yeah. somebody back. Like, I think that would really, really go well into this. Like, I could do it with that mechanic added and a shotgun, and I would have an absolute blast. Doing like multiplayer with friends and stuff like that. Like, I could see us having just as much fun with this as we did like when we first booted up the not Squid Games, you know, mm-hmm. like those two times. That would be like ridiculous fun, dude. So yeah, I'm excited to see this continue. And now that I have the link and everything like that, I'm gonna go ahead and download it and also keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I guess I could add like a critique of like the weapons, I will say. Could use a little bit more interest, a little bit more interesting weapon variety in there. Lean into some wackiness, you know. Get like some Killing Floor 2 inspiration in there. And be better than Killing Floor 2. Actually add content.
Yeah.
Unlike
yeah.
Killing Floor 2. Which is still technically in early access.
They did have a massive sale on the PlayStation this holiday weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy all six things that have come out for it.
Green, any thoughts, questions, opinions?
No, not really. I like the idea. I think it's interesting. I like the low poly kind of vibe every once in a while. But it does sound like it needs a little bit of tweaks. It's probably something that I generally wouldn't play.
Yeah.
But it definitely seems like it'd be a nice little time waster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of what it is too. I think of it as a time waster. For sure. Any other thoughts, opinions, or questions on a Polyclipse?
I think it looks neat.
All right. Mandachi, you're someone who's usually filled with dread, but you weren't dreading this one, were you?
No, but now I am. I want to talk about my time with Metroid Dread. But I want to do it in an interesting way. Danny, Green, have either of you ever played a Metroid game or a Castlevania game?
The only Metroid game I have ever played is Metroid Prime on the GameCube.
Oh, that's a very good one. What about you, Green?
I played on one of the really old ones when it was a platformer. I don't know which one.
Oh, there. So, okay. Do you know what its system was? It a handheld?
No, it was, I think, a Super Nintendo, maybe, or a Sega. It was a really long time ago. I'm not sure. I was like 8 or 9.
Yeah, so it was probably Super Metroid. So I am going to sell you both Metroid Dread. All right. I need you to think hypothetically for me. Okay.
Okay.
You both have a Nintendo Switch.
Okay. Right?
Okay. So, all right. So Green, you've played Super Metroid, never really had an attachment to the series or anything like that, but you think it's kind of neat, right? Like you like the idea of Samus, maybe, like as a little space bounty hunter shooting and stuff.
I could probably get behind it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Danny, you liked Metroid Prime, at least the first one, right? You probably didn't play number 2 or 3, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay. What did you like the most about Metroid Prime?
Man, it's been so long.
It's been a minute.
It's been a real minute. Oh, the exploration was fun, like finding all the different pieces of like your suit, and like that was pretty fun.
Okay. So that right there, I'll go ahead and flip over the trap card. Metroid Dread is, oh man, this is difficult to kind of say, but I've been thinking about it all weekend as I've poured in hours into this game, and I wish I was playing it right now. Metroid Dread could quite possibly be the best, or very close to the best Metroid game that has ever been released.
Wow.
And here's the funny thing, okay? So this is done by Mercury Steam. Do either of you know who Mercury Steam is?
No.
Okay. That makes sense. So Mercury Steam had picked up the Castlevania games Lords of Shadow and Lords of Shadow 2, and they kind of flopped. And then they made their own game called Space Lords, which honestly fucking kicks ass, and it's a travesty that nobody's actually playing it, and it's more or less dead. But that's neither here nor there. My heart is forever broken for Space Lords. But these guys never gave up on their sci-fi dreams. And it's this insane combination that I did not know existed. Metroid Dread is so aesthetically pleasing, and it is so much the old school games that you would remember playing from your childhood, Green. It is back to a platformer style. It is back to kind of like finding your upgrades in like a slow yet methodical and absolute, just like, oh, mind-blowing gratification when you find these things. It is terrifying because it's a whole new planet, which means there is an entire new set of monsters and hazards that you have to deal with. However, the old school formula is still there. Something happens to you. You essentially have what they're calling a kind of like physical amnesia, where your body forgets the motions that you're supposed to do. I'm not going to get into explaining the timeline of these games, but this does take place after Metroid Fusion, which came out on the Game Boy Advance, and I'm not saying that you guys have to go back and play that. In fact, it's totally fine if you don't. However, you do start out in what's essentially a super high definition version of that suit, and my inner fucking Samus fan just exploded. Metroid Fusion used to be my favorite Metroid game of all time. The things that you get in this game as far as upgrades to your suit, your gun, and everything else make this the best Metroid game that I've played in ages, maybe ever. You, for one thing, can aim wherever you want to as you're running, or you can sit and get a laser and, you know, just like shoot as you would. There are grappling beams. There are wide beams. There's beams that you can shoot, like your projectile will just like end up upgrading by itself, so you don't have to like select and choose and stuff. You start out with like a little, like, I would call it like, oh man, like a pea shooter, more or less. But that's kind of like always been the standard, your charge beam. And then by about like hour three or so, your charge beam shoots three bullets at a time, charges faster, and can do damage through the floor and walls, causing you to look at every level completely different every time that you get an upgrade to either your gun or your suit. Now, where I'm at in the game, I have gotten the gravity suit. Now, again, probably not going to remember this, Danny, but at one point in Metroid Prime, you have a really hard time moving around in water. There is a downed frigate ship that you have to get to and like platform around, and there's gross tentacle monsters and shit like that that you have to deal with, and space pirates that are still like fucking with you while they're drowning. Now, after you get through this downed frigate, you end up getting your gravity suit upgrade, and that allows you to pretty much pretend that the water's not there. There's also the Varia suit that allows you to go into hot places like Magmore Caverns or Phendrena Drifts in Metroid Prime. That's here too. Everything that you remember about the older Metroid games is here, but made better. And the fights you get into, like boss fights, mid-boss fights, things like that, solving puzzles, it's all there. But it's better. And it looks fucking awesome. And the music is so top-notch. It is both everything from as far back as the first Metroid to Metroid Prime to where it should be. It is a constant upgrade on top of itself every time you make progress. And every time, like, it's not going to peak here, or it's going to peak here, rather, it fucking smashes through it. You end up getting, like, for one thing, they have a parry system, so you can just Dark Souls your way through the whole fucking game. In fact, that's what it wants you to do. And there's boss fights where you have to, like, parry an attack, and it goes into a full cinematic where you still have full control of Samus, and you're, like, getting up in the shit as the camera is moving in around you, and it looks amazing, even when you're holding the fucking Switch like this in front of your hands, or in front of your face with your hands. Sorry, I'm so excited. It looks so amazing. You'll get into grapple attacks and stuff like that with bosses. And it's like, yo, dude, this isn't a cutscene. You need to be unloading on this guy. You need to be firing rockets into its mouth. You need to be shooting the charge beam. You need to be ready to dodge. There's stuff to make you go invisible. There's stuff for you to, like, hyper dash, which isn't new. But what is getting what is called a shine spark. And you essentially go like Super Saiyan, like you go purple and you have flames coming off of you, and then you can just like cannonball through the environment. It's so insane. It's everything that made Metroid awesome, and a shit ton of stuff that made Metroid even more awesome. It's impossible to get better. But every time you pick it up, it gets better. And on top of that, other than like the random monsters, the cool bosses and stuff like that, the whole reason why it's called Dread, right? You have this overarching idea. There are Metroids, which we all like can kind of think of what a Metroid looks like, no matter how familiar you are with the series. They're gross little fucking jellyfish looking dudes. They latch onto you and they're a bad time. Here's the thing, is that you fucking killed all the Metroids, which was a good thing. But then turns out it's not, because Metroid Fusion happened. Don't worry about the timeline, y'all. It's a thing of the past. But there's a different thing called an X-Parasite. An ex-parasite.
The timeline is a thing of the past?
Don't even, dog.
The timeline is a thing of the past.
Yes.
That is what a timeline is. A timeline is a thing of the past.
Exactly. Just don't even think about it, though. Don't even worry about it. We're burying it. Don't even think about it. Unless you have that cool thing that you can put on top or in the bottom of your GameCube and you can put Metroid Fusion in there and play with a GameCube controller, then you should play Metroid Prime or Metroid Fusion. But anyway, regardless. So you killed all the things that were the natural predators of the bad things, and turns out the bad things, the ex-parasite, still around. That's what Dread is about. So now you're like, oh fuck, I like hardcore fucked up because the one thing that could stop this, I killed all, oh fuck. And you find out that that's very bad because if you've ever seen John Carpenter's The Thing, that's what the ex-parasite is. And they're just going to keep going, and they can look like anything. And at the end of Fusion, you get touched in the bad way by an ex-parasite, and that makes a different Dark Samus, which if you beat Metroid Prime, you can kind of remember when you dealt with the Phazon, you had like Phazon Dark Samus come out, and that's what the other Metroid Prime games are about, by the way, is Dark Samus. Samus X is you at your absolute strongest hunting for you and wants to kill the universe. So now it's up to you to figure out why the fuck the ex-parasite is still going, stop it, and the only way that you can do that is unfucking your fuck-ups. And someone else also wants to unfuck up your fuck-ups, and their way to do that is by extracting your DNA out of your body against your will using giant robots that shoot spikes into you should they get their fucking hands on you. And these guys can climb on walls, ceilings. They're super fast sometimes. Sometimes they can freeze you. Sometimes they can go cloaked. It does not matter. They will chase you forever. And they are called Emmys. And that is where the other part of the Dread comes in. However, if they catch you and the game is like, hey, man, it's probably game over if you get caught, just so you know. But you can parry them, because of course you can, if you're good. Metroid Dread is a get good game. It's a Soulsborne Metroidvania. You need Metroid Dread. You need to play it. You need this game. You need to play this game. That's my review of Metroid Dread. It's amazing. I need to be playing it right now. I wish that I had it beat before I could talk to you guys, but I literally can't shut up about it. But that's all the time I'm going to take up on it. It's mind-blowing. If you have a Switch, get this game. You should have got it when it released.
Damn.
Questions?
No, I think you have covered it very thoroughly.
Yeah.
Very thoroughly. Green.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any questions. So you're saying like handheld version, it still looks decently good?
It's amazing. There's zero frame rate drop. There's, it's still like probably 720. I actually haven't had a chance to play this on a TV yet. My entire experience has been on the go with this because I started it over my holiday weekend. And it's been nothing but great, amazing, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I should have been playing it, but holidays suck, man. What can I say?
So I have a question for you now that you've been playing it a little bit.
Mm.
Should this have won Game of the Year?
Ooh, that's way too hard, dude. It's the best Nintendo game that has come out this year.
Mm.
Probably bar none. It's definitely the best game that I've played on the Switch since Hades. And Hades is obviously not a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
Hades is a fucking phenomenal game regardless. That's another game you should have on your Switch if you don't have it anywhere else. But if you have a Switch, you should have got Metroid Dread immediately. I still stand by, I believe, what was it? Was it 12 minutes? No, 12 minutes didn't get it.
It was Game of the Year. It Takes Two.
Yeah, I stand by that. That's pretty damn good. I think that it came around and did something that no one else was doing, and really good people were behind it, and so they deserve it. Metroid Dread is, like I said, it's all of the Metroid that you remember, no matter how much you remember, no matter how much time you've put into it or not put into it. Mm-hmm. It is 100% that, and it is 300% just better Metroid. It's fucking amazing.
Gotcha. Was there anything else we wanted to discuss with this game?
I want to play it right now.
It's I'm looking just so at my awesome, Switch. Dude.
Yeah, I've been looking at my Switch the whole time. Like, it's right there. It's right there.
Would you want to play it maybe on a little break here? You know, get like 2 minutes in?
I might.
Yeah. Guys, we'll be right back. Mindachi's going to go play a little bit of Metroid Dread. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Hello, Danny is being lazy and has decided to have a text-to-speech robot record this message for you instead of doing it himself. He wants you to know that you can help support the show by telling your friends. Telling your friends about the show helps us grow and help more people save money while gaming. It's also free. You can tweet about us, share us on Facebook, or even send a message directly to your friends and family with a link to the show. Don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube or leave a comment. That helps tell the algorithm that you like this kind of content and would recommend it. Thanks for watching and listening. The show will resume in just a few moments. P.S. Green Elite has bad taste in Pokemon.
And we're back.
What up? What's good?
That was a trap.
I did not realize
that was a fucking trap, dude.
I literally hit the button as you took a hit. I'm sorry.
Hey, the fattest of rips.
The fattest of rips. I apologize. And we're back.
Just boxed up, homie. Just
Yeah, you just gotta like let it sit in your chest for like the next hour. Yeah, we were back at whether we were ready or not. I think I used that last week too, but we have a bit of a controversy that is probably worth talking about for sure, because it's stirred up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Green, you were taking point on this, so tell us what's going on with Ready or Not.
Ready but or also not. more SWAT puns, please.
Either you're SWAT or you're not.
Ugh.
So Void Interactive has had a stir when a person on the dev team made comments that suggest the current early access game Ready or Not will feature a school shooter mission in which players will be tasked with entering that scenario and stopping threats. This sparked a disconnect between Void Interactive and its now previous publisher, Team 17, as they have pulled away from the project. In a Twitter post about the incident, Void stated, Void Interactive has a clear commitment to deliver high-quality, impactful content that other mainstream software developers may shy away from due to cultural conventions and norms. At Void Interactive, we value the voice of our customers and partners, and whilst this will not dictate our direction, we will allow it to smartly influence what we do. At its core, the game honors the work of dedicated law enforcement officers across the world, and in no way intends to glorify cowardly criminal acts, end quote. I honestly don't know how to take this, though. I've never had in like my recollection of a game have like an actual scenario where we as players have entered an active school shooter situation. I mean, I was raised in the era of No Russian, mm-hmm. which is,
I was just gonna mention that.
It's crazy. You know, that is crazy, but it's no school shooting, right? It really depends on if they make the shooter an adult or an actual child, that I could see this being severely scrutinized by a lot of people. So I honestly get why the publisher wanted to step away from something like that, having it been announced. But yeah, what do you guys think?
Oh, boy. So what to think on this one? Danny, you want to take it?
I want to pose a thought experiment first.
Mm-hmm.
what if a movie did a school shooting scene? What if a movie depicted the, you know, just pick a school shooting. What if a movie depicted it from the point of view of the cops? Right? Like,
from the point of view about the cops?
Yeah. It's like the story of a cop who is, you know, first on scene for an active shooter situation.
Yeah.
Right? Like, would people be... would people scrutinize that as much as they're scrutinizing this video game? Just as a question, right? You guys can decide the answer yourself, what you think. But
I have it'd probably get nominated for an Oscar. Guaranteed.
But what if I told you guys that we're about 10 years too late to talk about this?
Oh, is there?
So
go ahead.
Not from the point of view of the cops, okay? This is a film called We Need to Talk About Kevin, which is pretty fucking hard. Just to kind of give you guys the bit here. So We Need to Talk About Kevin is a 2011 psychological thriller drama film directed by Lynn Ramsey. The screenplay written by Ramsey and Rory Stewart Kinnear was based on the 2003 novel of the same name by Lionel Shriver. A long process of development and financing began in 2005, filming in 2010. Tilda Swinton stars as the mother of Kevin, struggling to come to terms with her psychopathic son and the horrors he has committed. The film premiered at the 2011 Cannes, I think, no, Cannes Film Festival, and was released in the UK on, yes, Cannes, in the United Kingdom on October 21st. Swinton was nominated for the Golden Globe Award, Screen Actors Guild Award, and the BAFTA for Best Actress in a Leading Role. It received generally positive reviews from critics. The climax of this film is Kevin taking a... It's actually almost more graphic because he doesn't take a gun. He takes a bow and arrow, and he starts fucking nailing everybody. It doesn't show you much about what actually goes on there. It shows you more from the perspective of the mom that realizes that like she finds animals that were like fucked up and mutilated before he goes. She finds like all of his archery stuff had been like switched out with like metal tips, and all of his shit's missing, and like notes are written and shit. It's fucked. Like, that's a you watch it once kind of movie. But yeah, I mean, I guess to your point, there were some nominations for this film. But yeah, this is not untreaded ground, I suppose.
Yeah, I have such an issue, right? And people can have their own personal tastes, right? On whether or not they would like to see a level like that or not. But I just have such an issue with the people who want to dictate other people's art so bad. Like Kotaku in particular on this situation, it has me absolutely fucking livid, because this is art, right? Video games are art. No matter what people try to say, video games are art. There are stories to be told, and stories that have to be told, and they have to be. If the game doesn't handle it in a tasteful way, then critique that. But the story has, these are stories that happen, and they have to be understood, and they have to be reflected in our art. And people want to take video games and basically shelter them from something like that. Like we don't see these things in movies. Like, we don't experience these horrific events in movies, but we want to pretend that doesn't happen, or we want to laud movies for it when but then like critique video game or criticize video games unfairly when it happens. So I'm like, why? This to me is controversial, yes, but it's also not controversial because this is art and there's a story to be told there, and as long as the story and the situation is handled tastefully, right, then it's a non-issue. But we don't even know if that's the case, right? We don't know. This level hasn't come out. This scenario hasn't come out. It hasn't been added into the game. So if we don't know if it's been handled tastefully, why are we talking about it? Like this, right. It's a pet peeve of mine lately where people want to try to dictate art before it's even come out. People don't want to give art and stories a chance, but to be expressed before we say we have an issue with it. Mm-hmm. And that to me, that's what I'm seeing with the Ready or Not controversy right now. Like you see it constantly in games, and I think this is just a really good highlight of that. So that's my little soapbox. Mendachi, what were you gonna give on your what thoughts were you gonna give?
So obviously, you know, like we talked about, we need to talk about Kevin, and I also completely agree with you on that. It was also really cool. We're talking about a year in which like we first had like an interactive experience. Portion of the Hugo Awards, which I thought was super, super sick. Speaking of Hades. Anyway, so I think that you guys were talking about the game Active Shooter when we first got into this subject. Am I correct, Green?
Yeah.
By the Russian developer? Yeah. So Active Shooter, for anyone that doesn't really remember or may not have known, Active Shooter was a game that was it had a Steam store page updated on like May 2018 and had a lot to do with school shootings and everything like that. It, pun not intended, but it came under fire, a lot of controversy around that time as well, especially for how it was going to be handling this. The PR was pretty bad, and they pretty much said on their defense, there are a ton of games like this already, like Hatred. If you don't know about Hatred, it's you go around hating society and everybody, and you start gunning down everyone willy-nilly. Your name is not important, as he says, and the game ends with you like nuking the world, if I remember right. Postal has been going around since like 1997, and it's still going strong. You can still pick up both Hatred and any of the Postal games in most storefronts.
You know what? I think that,
yes.
You know another game that I don't think got any flack for its depiction of mass murder? Party Hard. Mm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I think that here's the thing is that school shooting in America is obviously pretty fucking rough. It's kind of a non-start here. A lot of people have been affected by this. I think that the three of us are lucky enough to never have had any sort of we haven't been touched by this this sort of pandemic of shootings, correct?
When I was in high school, we did go into two lockdowns for threats of violence, but that's a story for another time.
Right.
So
right.
Like I know the fear very well. Like I have been thankfully, the issues of my school was that we were not in danger. But we, you know, for those 2 hours that we were in lockdown, that there was a concern. Like, mm-hmm. I know that feeling of sitting in a classroom, not knowing if there was going to be an active shooting that day.
Right. Yeah. And like, we know, like, we've probably, at least I have, I've been seeing articles talking about like parents who are so heartbroken with their kids talking about how fucking terrified they are to go to school because they have to go through these simulations and these, you know, like, I guess I don't really know the right term. I'm going to say pep rally, in which they talk about these kinds of scenarios. And it's like, we have to do this because they've become so prevalent in United States culture. And then you have things like what's going on with what had been going on with, say, Sandy Hook deniers and Alex Jones and everything. It's now so ingrained in so many different parts of American culture. It's obviously going to rub someone raw. And that is kind of another reason why Active Shooter had tanked, was the Sandy Hook Promises kind of coalition there, along a couple other groups. I think it was like 100,000 people or more had signed to say, hey, yeah, fuck this game. For this to be one level in Ready or Not, it's hard, man. I don't want people to feel uncomfortable because I don't want to feel uncomfortable. However, I don't really know if this is, say, like, completely necessary to the bones of this game or its experience that it's trying to entertain players. That's kind of the other thing, too, is that this is a game. It is meant for entertainment, such as movies. In talking about, we need to talk about Kevin. Do we need something like this? We don't need any media. I think that it's too easy for me to say, I think that all forms of entertainment and questions that entertainment make us question and answer for ourselves are good. I think that I'm kind of talking from a place of privilege, being that I'm from small town Iowa and have not been affected by this at all. Personally, that's my take, is that if something makes me ask a question or come up with my own answer, then it's important. It's the way that I've always viewed film. And it's high time that we look at other media like we do look at film, which I think is something you were saying, Danny. And I completely agree. This is a hard one. This is a hard one. But I think that's my piece. As convoluted as I'm sure that comes across, it is still very much so a mushy ball rolling around in my head. I have a lot to think about, I think, before I commit to one way or another.
Yeah. Green, what do you think?
Yeah, I, as I said, like, at, you know, at the beginning of this film, I don't know. It really just depends on, like, how they handle it, if it's, you know, tactful. But then again, you also got to think about this in the perspective of this is a game where people can also, you know, shoot civilians on accident or in some cases on purpose. So it's a weird place, but I don't think it should get as much stigma as anyone or any other type of media. Like there's been movies about Columbine. What about Kevin? Stuff like that. So like it's prevalent in other media and it's talked about in other media, but then once it hits the you know, video game aspect that's been scrutinized for years, I feel it's makes a big stink with people who don't understand the concept, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, it depends. I really hope that Void like has some tact while doing this.
Yeah. Like if it comes,
a tightrope walk.
Like, yeah, if this comes out and it's like tasteless and it's, you know, and it has no tact on the situation, like it's a delicate story to tell and they need to treat it like that. And if they don't, then by all means, lambast them. But we don't even fucking know how tasteful they're going to be about this. Like it again. I kind of go back to the fact that like we need to tell hard stories in our society. It's something that we don't want to do. And when we try to tell hard stories in our society, looking at you, true crime podcasts, we usually fetishize the issues.
Yeah.
Right. So we don't know what the story is. I think this is at the moment, this is a non-controversy. I think anyone who thinks it is needs to reevaluate their coverage or their thought process on it, because we don't know how tasteful it's going to be. And that's mm-hmm. the thing. We need to know how the story is told. We need to know how the situation is handled before we can do anything else with this story.
Yeah. It's conjecture and hypotheticals. Yeah. 100% right now. I mean, the level isn't even made right now. It's an idea.
Exactly.
Though something that I have read that was kind of interesting was that for one thing, Void Interactive has gone on record saying that Team 17 has not split from them due to the school shooter level. It was an amicable split. However, it does seem to be perhaps tied to the shock and controversy that this has created. And that just kind of goes to show you how trembling the waters are around this in American society. Someone on a subreddit asked if the game should have a school shooting mission, and a Void Interactive developer had replied, and I quote, "You better believe it's gonna." That being said, the response had been deleted, but can be seen via the Internet Wayback Machine. They also had that little, but it was like a Bible written on Twitter. A lot of people have been drawing a lot of conclusions back to 6 days in Fallujah. I think that talking about things like active shooter, hatred, postal, things like that are much more poignant in this. Because, especially with Postal, when Postal came out during the late 90s, Hillary Clinton was actually a big advocate for video games causing a lot of violence in teens, directly pointing that violent games make violent teens. And if we have more violent games, we'll have more violent crime, especially in the younger populace. And directly talking about, you know, school shootings and stuff like that, which also, I mean, obviously stems all the way back from like Mortal Kombat. So obviously we've also found that there's zero correlation between the two things. But I think that the only thing that could be considerably bad about this possible level possibly being in Ready or Not is playing as the SWAT team. Obviously you will be as tactically inclined as you are as a person. However, the way that the game may set it up and the tools that you will receive, if they are close to the real deal, someone that is deranged, someone that does have plans, could gain some pretty terrifying insight in how to be a little bit more methodical. But that is also, I would say, pretty far and wide, but not 0%, given the country that we live in.
Yeah,
it's hard.
I might push back on that notion a little bit, but I think that's a discussion for another time, because this is already a pretty heavy discussion. Any other thoughts, opinions, questions on this that we want to like get out there?
I hope that the right things are done. I just if it's in there, I hope they do right by it. I hope they do right by the people that are worried about it, and it goes into a lull. And it can just be a video game that people can enjoy and have fun with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I kind of want to also put out another just thought real quick that I had. When it comes to like mass shooting coverage and stuff like that, or just like having to tell the stories, right? I kind of go back to last podcast on the left did a series on Henry Unruh, I believe is his name. He was the first mass shooter in America, or the first recorded mass shooter in America.
Yeah.
And the issue was, you know, there's never going to be a good time to discuss mass shootings because they happen so often, right? Like there's never going to be a moment in which we can have that discussion. We can have that story told and it not feel tasteless because the way that mass shootings are reported, the way that mass shootings happen is like constant, right? So that is an issue that I think we also have to take into account, is that there's never going to be a good moment in time to have that, to tell those stories and it not feel tactless, because it just is always happening. You know, it's, if you think about any other crime, any other like horrible tragedy, and, you know, if it was happening on a consistent basis like that, it would be, you know, talk about like an earthquake or whatever, you know, if we constantly had earthquakes, it'd feel like there's a never good time to talk about earthquakes. But with that, let's move on to our next story, which is we have an update with OBS and Steam Streamlabs. So back in November, We discuss the plagiarism scandal that rocked the streaming world between OBS and Streamlabs. And while Streamlabs has done has a lot more to account for, in my opinion, they've at least reached an agreement with Streamlabs or with OBS. Holy cow, I am stroking out. So the organ, which just goes to prove that there was an issue in the first place. If I can't keep the two organizations in check when I'm trying to cover them. So anyways, yes, Streamlabs and Open Broadcast Software have both reached an agreement. The two organizations have agreed to a, quote, long-term collaboration. OBS put this out in a statement saying, quote, in the past few weeks, the OBS team have been in discussion with Streamlabs to have a transparent conversation on trust and partnership, and together we now have a plan moving forward. Both of our teams have shared a mission to support streamers, and the industry is better when we can all work together. We are happy to have Streamlabs support the project in the long term so we can continue to build tools for the community. Streamlabs then added, quote, our goal has always been to serve creators, and we are grateful for the opportunity to establish a better relationship to do that. They agreed that they're going to drop the OBS off of their fork of the software to avoid brand confusion. So, yeah, I haven't seen much else in terms of what is going to be coming out of the collaboration, if there's going to be some innovation or some changes or iterations coming to the Streamlabs fork of the software or the OBS version of the software. And while this is all nice, good, touchy-feely, Streamlabs still hasn't addressed other controversies that they've dealt with, that they have.
Plagiarism.
A lot of the plagiarism stuff, a lot of the sniping of products, a lot of the issues of opt-in subscription services. Opt-out subscription services, where people apparently will, like, you know, inadvertently have to get, like, money taken out of their account for something that they had to opt out of. They haven't they haven't addressed a lot of issues. They haven't addressed a lot of their monetization practices of and their paywall stuff. They haven't addressed a lot of that. And personally, this is just me, I still recommend creators avoid Streamlabs like the plague for a variety of reasons that we already outlined, including it being a lazy tool for people to not understand how to actually create content. But yeah, kind of going around the table, Green, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you on the whole, like, don't suggest Streamlabs. I feel like this is just a half measure on Streamlabs' bit, because OBS is, like, their main income source. I would say, you know, their main bit is getting built off the back of OBS. And that's where a lot of their income comes from. Not only that, but, like, swindling people who use the actual, like, overlays and stuff like that. So I feel like this is just a half measure. I don't think this really fixes anything. I think Streamlabs really still needs to really sit down and take a look in the mirror and figure their shit out. I still 100% veto Streamlabs.
And Dachi, what do you think?
I think that my life has gotten considerably better, and my stream has looked considerably better since you educated me and helped me figure out Stream Elements and shown me a lot of people on YouTube that use a lot better tools than Streamlabs OBS. And now, especially since you pointed it out, I can literally point out every single streamer that's using slobs. What they've done here? It's a nail in the coffin. There are several more to go. And I think that every dog has its day. I hope that slobs' day is coming. In the wise words of Papa John, the day of reckoning is coming.
Can you say that, but just with more pizza sweat?
Yeah, I'm trying, man. I took a shower after I shoveled all that shit. I was looking greasy, and I was like, oh, man, the world can't. Nah, no one's ready for that. Yeah. Not even you, Green. Get real hot and sweaty for you, boy.
Yes, I have taken you out of education camp. You are now
comrade. Re-educated.
You have been re-educated. Duh. In my awful, awful Russian.
You have worse Russian than I've ever
heard. Oh yeah. It was like a half-ass attempt at a quarter-ass attempt.
You should be shamed. Very, very shamed.
For someone who played through so much of Metro, I was hoping for so much more from you, Danny.
Terrible, terrible. Here's the thing about me is that I am awful at accents. I can do Southern.
Mm.
I can do
Kentucky. Barely.
Yeah, that's about it. That's really about it.
I accidentally slip into Southern accents sometimes. It just happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, any other thoughts, opinions, questions on OBS? Guys, we would love to know your opinions on this. Let us know in the YouTube comments. And, of course, on any of the other things we've discussed today, let us know in the comments.
Please.
Guys, I don't know if you noticed, Christmas was last week.
Actually. Oh yeah, it was.
About killed me.
Well, let's just have a quick like post Christmas discussion. Like, let's talk about like the things we got, the things we gave. Although I don't know if we really need to discuss the things that we gave again. We've already done that. And then let's make some suggestions to people if they want to take advantage of some holiday sales. You know, they got some cash or whatever from grandma. Let's talk about like some suggestions people can pick up. Let's start with some of the things that like we just got. Green, you want to start?
Let's see. I got like someone gave me.
Mm-hmm.
My fiance gave me a Ninja Foodie air fryer, which is fantastic. Use that. I made some chicken cordon bleu with it. Some mint. She also gave me these really cool headphones. For those who are watching, they are shooter headphones. So like when you're shooting at a range, it has a microphone on it. So like when you're talking to people, you can hear them. But then once you start shooting, it cuts the sound off.
Well, that's smart.
Which is very, very nice. Yes, very nice. And then a bag for my AR-15 and stuff like that. And then we have a thing going tomorrow, which I don't know if I'm getting anything from, because the first time I went to my fiance's mother's house, she forgot I even existed. Didn't give me anything. So, which is a funny story for another time.
Okay. Bendachi, what did you get?
Well, going off of that fun story with Green, allowing me to share in that pain, but also talking about grandmothers, when we went to go visit my fiance's grandmother out in West Virginia, out in the mountains, she handed me a card, and it had $20 inside, of which I was very thankful, and it said, you don't have a stocking yet because you're not an official member of the family, but we love you anyway. And I was just like, oh, thanks, Grandma. Fuck. Like, yeah, like, don't worry. It's only been 4 years since I started coming to your Christmas. God damn. Like, yeah, we've also been engaged for 3 years and in, you know, we're in the middle of a goddamn plague, but you know, whatever. Anyway, favorite gifts this year that I got, other than whatever you want to call that, dude, a slap to the dick with no foreplay. I got this whole microphone set up, courtesy of my fiance, with help from just the most gorgeous Mr. Green in the world. Oh God, thank you.
You can't
so
prove
much.
Anything.
She literally gave you up immediately.
You can't prove that. That's hearsay. That'll never hold up in court. Oh, that's all I'm saying.
You're a sly and slippery motherfucker. But Anyway, oh, and then I got a pair of Raycon earphones, which those are so fucking awesome. Those were probably my two very favorite things. I got some new brushes for painting and some minis to paint. So
nice.
Yeah, we got that.
Excellent. Some of the things I got, I've been rocking a like fake leather wallet since middle school, like literally probably since like the seventh grade. I've rocked that, that wallet.
You got a chain?
No.
Is it a Slipknot wallet?
No, it's not that cool. It's literally just a plain brown leather wallet. But my girlfriend got me a Ridge wallet, which I am absolutely loving. She got me the one with the elastic strap on the back for the cash. She got me a desk pad and like a big one, like RGB gamified desk pad, which is so freeing instead of trying to play on like a 6-inch square of nylon.
Green. I've been telling you that for years, Chief. It's to get a big ass like your mouse pad, you put keyboard on there, you get so much fucking room.
It is nice.
Love it.
My only complaint about this desk pad is it's RGB, but the manual doesn't tell you. It has 13 color modes, but it doesn't tell you any of the modes in the manual.
I actually went off of RGB. I left the scene of RGB. I actually have two mouse pads. I have this bitch right here, I need to clean.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's cool as hell looking.
Massive.
That's a blanket.
Yeah. Going to the beach? Freak. Audio Freak on Facebook. Shout out to Audio Freak. He's fucking amazing. I love him, dude.
That is dope though.
Yeah. And then also got like some cable management and like a tower stand for my PC so I can get it up off the ground and not like sucking up the dust from the carpet. I still have like some other like family events that I have to go to because you know of course I do, but yeah, that's the stuff that I got on Christmas. Let's go on ahead and talk about like what we suggest people pick up if they got cash from grandma. Mandachi, what are like two things that you recommend people pick up if they have some cash from grandma?
So I just like been talking about it for months, but Vermintide 2 is still so fucking cheap. The base game's like $7.50, or you can get the everything that's ever come out for it for $46. Otherwise, Inscription, which would be like pretty close to my 2021 game of the year, so fucking good. That is also currently on sale for $15.99. You should really do that. There's also a really sick bundle with a Death Door and Loop Hero for $35.97.
Excellent. Green, what do you suggest?
If you got extra cash from grandma, I'm always going to suggest Hunt Showdown.
You fucker.
The best FPS game on the market. Fuck you, Danny. You shouldn't have let me go first. You shouldn't have let me go before you.
Tell them to buy Metroid Dread, Danny.
Continue, Green.
Yeah, definitely Hunt Showdown if you're looking into buying a game. But if you're looking to like, just spend some spare money on like your actual gaming setup, I would say like a nice cheap like headphone stand or under the desk headphone holder is great, convenient, save space. And then if you're a console player, I would recommend getting like one of those chargers for your controllers that like double stacks like both your controllers and keeps them nice and tidy, because like space is a real thing. I have probably an 8'6" tall desk. What?
So probably just throw them on the floor next to like the empty Dorito bag and new cans.
I have a 6-foot long desk and I still have issues with space. Like I tend to like catch all. So anything that helps with that is mint.
Man.
Nice.
I even have bars of soap sitting on my desk.
You never know.
Actual bars of soap. My sister gave them to me for Christmas, and I have not put them in the bathroom yet. They've been sitting on my desk, and they smell amazing.
Sometimes you just gotta, like...
I'll just sit here, and I'll pick them up every once in a while. I'll give them a little sniff. Yeah. Because they smell amazing.
So game wise, man, Green, you really screwed me here because
it's not my fault you let me go first.
True. You know what, game wise, if you're gonna pick anything up, I think maybe go pick up some Metro Exodus or any of the Metro games. Get started in the Metro series, get stuck in there. I think that would be a good suggestion for anyone if you got some cash on Steam, especially because they're probably on sale right now. Let me double check. Probably on sale. Let's see here. Store. Let's search Metro. If I could spell.
You're saying Metroid really fucking weird, Danny.
Metro 2033 Redux is currently $4 on Steam. So if you got some cash for Steam, got some cash from grandma, like start getting into the Metro series. You could probably pick up all three games for pretty cheap right now. If you got like an Amazon gift card or, you know, looking for something or, you know, something similar like that, for like your setup or like your area, I recommend getting some cable management stuff. You can get like some under desk baskets like I just got, like screw into the desk. You can get sets of like, binders and like straps and whatever else that like help like keep cables together and not turn into a rat's nest. All sorts of cool things like that. You can even get like you can even find them where they like have like these adhesive rubber grommets that like hold cables, so it's not like you don't have like a cable constantly like falling or getting like tugged under your desk, which is really dope. Or you could also get like a little phone mount too. This came with one of my gifts, so it was actually like packed in the box. Just a little phone stand that is adjustable in different ways. I already had one. Like I had a 3D printed one from the devs of Fitment. But I took that one to work, and this one works really well on my desk, and it matches everything. So those are my recommendations. Help keep your space clean and tidy. And
I need all of those. I could really use all of those. I literally just wrote down everything you said.
I'll send you an Amazon link later, Mendachi, of one that I saw. It's like 156 pieces of cable management for like $15.
Oh damn, boy. Yeah.
It's a lot of like little rubber pieces and stuff like that, but you know, it's nice to have options and when you manage your desk. But yeah, that's what I suggest. Guys, was there anything else we wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I don't think so. I'm good. Still haven't found all my words after holiday weekend, man. I'm fucking exhausted, Danny.
I bet. Well, since you're so exhausted, let's go on ahead and wrap up the show. Green, what's coming up on your channel?
Oh, well, I've got stuck into a crisis of choosing Hunt Showdown and Escape from Tarkov. So I've been playing a lot of Tarkov. I'm going to be sticking to my fucking schedule this week. Tomorrow I'm off, but Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going hard, waking up at 8 in the morning, putting out content that you, the people, deserve on TikTok. I'm working on the YouTube and actually fucking doing it instead of saying I'm doing it and then staring at an editing software for like fucking 2 hours thinking like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm actually going to do it. I'm going to put something together. I'm going to make an outline. I'm going to make a nice rough draft. I'm going to do all the classical things. So I need to push that schedule. So, but yeah, you can check me out. Twitch.tv/Mr. Early. If you like seeing some Escape from Tarkov, Cheeky Breaky, or some Hunt Showdown. Because, those are the games I'm enjoying right now. I'm digging. And Hunt Showdown's community is amazing. So, yeah. I'm also on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. And OnlyFans.
Ooh. Mendachi, what do you got coming up on your channel?
Man, I'm gonna try and play some Metroid Dread on stream probably this week. I'm not gonna give you a specific day because I don't know when my brains are gonna become unscrambled. Maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's Friday. Who knows? But otherwise, Metroid Dread probably, and then probably some more Vermintide. And you know what? I got Grim Dawn from Brent over at Podcast for Two People that I also co-host, that you can find on every podcast platform that you may be using. So I might check that out. Looks a little Bloodborne, looks a little Victorian Gothic. I kind of like that shit. Otherwise...
You said that was Grim Dawn?
Grim Dawn.
Yeah, are you a fan of Diablo?
I love Diablo.
So you'll probably like Grim Dawn. Sorry, continue.
Perfect. And it's not Blizzard, so I can play it without feeling guilty. Huh. So yeah, probably be checking those games out and trying to have a good time, trying to unscramble my brains. And if you want to help me unscramble my brains... come and say hey. Otherwise, holler at me on my Twitter, which is Mendachi_TTV. I am thinking about trying to change my name, but I haven't decided how yet. Only on Twitter, though. I'm going to be the same everywhere else. And Podcast for Two People should be having a new episode relatively soon. The holidays kind of stopped us from getting together. So be on the lookout for that. And of course... you should rate our show. Since you're probably already going to be rating next to nothing, you should rate Podcast for Two People. An honest rating, though. I'm not going to ask you for a 5-star rating. You can just tell me what you think. You can also just throw a bottled fart in my face, too. That'd be fine.
Oh, I'm going to ask for a 5-star rating. I'm going to be shameless about it. Guys, give us a 5-star rating. coming up on my channel... more the usual stuff. I'm going to be playing some Hunt Showdown probably Friday, Saturday. And I don't know. I really enjoyed playing Outer Worlds on Sunday. So I'm probably going to try to play some more of that. We've been working on Outer Worlds for a while. I think we've only got like 5 streams of it, 4 streams of it, maybe. And I would love to get through some more of my single player backlog. So check me out Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I should be streaming each day this week. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Other than that, you guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram and on TikTok at Danny K, DanieCae. I don't think I have anything else to plug or promote. Guys, it's gonna wrap
be
up
sure
show.
To keep an eye on the Twitter page and the Facebook page for week 4, the last giveaway we're doing for the month of December. Okay.
Oh shit.
That's Next to Nothing PC on Twitter and Next to Nothing the podcast on Facebook.
True. Please. Yeah. We did we announce the winner? I'm sorry.
We didn't early, but I put it in the chat. Viceroy, congratulations. You won 2 copies of whatever the game was. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I'm bad about that.
So it was a negative Shinobi something.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Negative way of the Shinobi.
Yeah, negative way of the Shinobi. Yeah. Guys, check out the official Twitter and Facebook account for the podcast. Make sure you guys check that out for giveaways.
And follow the instructions.
Yes, follow the instructions. That's going to wrap up the show this week. Thanks for watching and listening, guys. Your time with us is always appreciated, but of course, we're not interested in just your time and your attention. We want to know your opinions. We want to know your thoughts. So go on ahead and let us know, any of the thoughts you want to share on the topics that we discussed this week. Let us know in the comments, tweet at us, discuss all that stuff with us, on social media. Of course, we always have a question of the week. This week is, what is the favorite gift that you gave this Christmas? Go on ahead and let us know what kind of joy you spread to friends and family. If you guys miss any part of the show, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are found. If you guys want to catch us live, you can do that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time on Tuesdays. If you guys like what we do, you can drop a like and subscribe or ring that bell. That helps us out a ton on YouTube. It really does. But if you guys want to know, the number one way to help us out is by telling your friends. A retweet is free, guys. It's super helpful to us.
Tell them we have an extremely beautiful mustached man named Danny K with a glorious mustache.
It's only going to get more glorious because my girlfriend also got me a beard care kit that has wax in it.
Ooh.
gonna be looking like Robin Hood here in a hot minute. You need to put like a green hat on next episode. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah, baby.
So guys, until next week, stay safe, stay healthy, keep fighting the good fights, and we'll talk to you again next week. Goodbye.
Doodles.
I love you.